Tried that once, didn't work out too well. You know, there are things that you do that you always remember not to repeat. I was up here one Sunday in another congregation in a podium just like this, and I happened to look down when I was walking across the stage and noticed my shoe was untied, so I thought I'd be, you know, really discreet, and I'd put it on this shelf, and I'd put my foot up there and tie my shoe, but the shelf gave way, and down I went. I tell you what, it was humbling to get back up. I've tried not to do that again. I'm glad that you're here this morning. I'm glad that we have some visitors in our audience. We want you to know we're happy that you're here. We'd ask that you open your Bibles and open your minds as we spend a few moments together in the study of God's holy and divine word. It is my hope and my prayer that I say things that it will be encouragement to you, that will be edifying, but most of all, that they'll be true to God's word. As has already been stated by Brother Freeman, if you find anything that you think is amiss, it's not in accordance with the will of God, you will not offend me. I will not take offense to it. If you have a question, you want some clarification, I'll be glad to give that to you and give you a book, chapter, and verse for the conclusions and the things that I say from this pulpit. I'm not here to tell you my theology or my opinion or what I think the Bible says. I'm here to just try to explain in a clear, concise, and straightforward way what the Word of God says. And if you feel that I have not done that, you'd be a dear friend if you'll point that out to me. Thankful for many of our number who have been gone and are returning. I'm glad you had a safe trip. I'm glad you had a good time. And I'm glad you were able to get away for a while and refresh. I think that's important in our lives, that we take a step back from our day-to-day activities and the stress that we find ourselves in and be able to relax and regenerate. I think God expects us to do that in order that we might be of service to Him in every capacity. Today's a lesson, today and tonight, Lord willing, that I think is very applicable for no matter where you're at in life, no matter what your status is, no matter how long you've been a Christian, and no matter if you're a Christian or not. I believe that we need to understand that there's choices that God allows us to make in this life. One of the first blessings that God gave man when he placed him in the Garden of Eden on that first time when he created life and he created all the things in heaven and earth, he gave him free will. Now, free will simply means, or free moral agency as we sometimes call it, is nothing more than the opportunity and the right to make choices in our lives for the things that we do and the things we participate in, and the directions that we take our life. And I want to talk about that today. I want to talk about making decisions. And I want to talk about walking in wisdom. We need to walk in wisdom when we make decisions. We need to understand that there are two decisions. It's either right or it's wrong. And it's not right or wrong according to what you think. It's not right or wrong according to what I think. And it's not right or wrong according to what society thinks. It's right or wrong determined by God Himself. God determines the right or the wrong of any action or anything that we may participate in. I found this little note on the internet and I thought it was very appropriate. It says, "This is a choice you have to make in everything you do. And you must always keep in mind, the choice you make makes you." And indeed, that's not a biblical passage, but that is a truth. The choices we make make us. It determines who we are, what we are, and what we are saying by the life that we live. And so, tonight we're going to look about destiny. But this morning I want you to understand that decisions determine destiny. Brethren, decisions have vital consequences, both physical and spiritual, both temporal and eternal. Every choice that we have determines destiny. We must choose some things. We must choose the right way or the wrong way. There's only two paths you're going to go in here. And we must choose to either have a godly attitude, or we can have an ungodly attitude. And we can be one of obedience, or we can act in rebellion. Each of us make the choices of these three things in our life. the right, the wrong, the attitude, and the obedience or the rebellion. Each of these choices are left for each of us to make. But I want you to also remember that the choices determine destiny. Things needed must choose. Requires purpose. Requires respect. Requires knowledge. Requires faith. Requires preparation. The things needed that you need in life, the choices that you make in life, they require a purpose. They require a respect, a knowledge, and a faith, and a preparation. Any decision that we make on any subject, whether we're talking about work of the church, whether we're talking in service to God, whether we're talking in our marriage relationships, whether we're talking about raising our children, whether we're talking about in our jobs, in our occupations, in our interaction with other brethren, with our interaction with the world, we must keep these five things in mind. It requires that we never lose sight of the purpose and the respect and the knowledge and the faith and the preparation it takes to make those decisions. And so to make decisions, you have to establish some things. And the first thing you have to establish are priorities. What are priorities? Priorities is what I determine is most important in my life, and it goes down from there. Every one of us in this audience this morning have a top priority in our life. That which is most important, central, focused in our lives. Everyone has a top priority. Who determines the top priority in your life? You do. Not me, not society, not another person. You determine what is the most important thing in your life. A person's decisions to follow or not follow God affects every other decision you make. Every decision that you make has an effect on your relationship with God. Now let me ask you something. Do you really believe that? Do you really believe that every decision you make and every act and part of your life affects and has an effect on your relationship to God? It does, brethren. Whether you believe that, whether you think that silliness, or whether you reject that, every decision you make in life affects your relationship with God. Let me give you a couple of illustrations. You know this passage very well. Matthew 6, verse 33. Many of us could quote it. What does it say? Jesus was talking in the Sermon on the Mount. And in verse 33 he said, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Now, the points of this verse is this phrase, "these things." And what he has listed, if you go back to verse 25, down to verse 32, he talked about the daily needs that we have in our life. Food, shelter, clothing. All those things are needs that God knows that we have. Things that we need in order to sustain our lives. But God says if you want to make sure you have those things, and you have them that you can sustain you, then you must seek His kingdom first. What does that mean? That means that the top priority in our lives must be the things that pertain to the kingdom. And if you don't know what that is, that's the church. If you're a member of this body, and you're a member of this church, then God says the first thing that ought to be central in your life is the things that pertain to the kingdom. And when you take care and focus on the kingdom, everything else that you need, God will provide opportunities through His providence and through His watchful care that you will have everything you need to sustain your life, to feed your families, to be happy, to have relationships that bring you joy. Everything you need, God will richly supply. Now, brother or sister, does your life demonstrate that you believe that? Are you walking in God's wisdom? Are you walking in the wisdom that you put His needs first? Turn next to Mark chapter 12. Jesus, often quoted from the Old Testament, And in Mark chapter 12, in verse 29 and 31, this is what he said. The first of all the commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord with God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. This is the first commandment, and the second like it is this. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. You know, when Jesus was asked this question, what is the greatest commandment? Think of all the commandments that God has given in His Word. Think of the hundreds and maybe thousands of commandments that are recorded in the pages of the Bible. And yet God centers that the greatest commandment revolves around these two things. Now why? Have you ever wondered why? There's a reason. If I love God with all my heart, my mind, and my soul, and that I love Him more than I love anything else in life, and second like it, that I have a servant's attitude, that I love my fellow man like I love God, you know what? Everything else is going to fall into place. You're going to do every other commandment, because if you love God first, then you're going to do what God says. Why? If you love me, you keep my commandments. And if I have a servant's heart, then I'm going to be a servant to my fellow man, and I'm going to make the decisions in my life that are good for them, and then every other decision you make in life just falls into its natural place. But what if I don't have the first one right? What if I don't have love God with all my heart, mind, and soul? That affects every other choice I make in life. Do you see that, brethren? If I don't have that first one right, it's going to trickle down to every other decision I make in life. If I don't have that one first. But if I have that one first, and I have the other one second, everything else is going to fall right into place. And that's why God said this is the greatest commandment. And so to do that, we have to establish priorities. In Colossians chapter 1, in verse 9 through 11, Paul wrote to the church of Colossae, that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to His glorious power, for all patience and long-suffering with joy. What does it mean to walk worthy of the Lord? That's a powerful statement. What does that mean? How does one walk worthy of the Lord? You know, that word walk's an interesting word. It's not talking about what I'm doing on this stage. That's not the walking that God's talking about. That word walk in the Greek means manner of life. My manner of life ought to be worthy of the Lord. The decisions I'm making in my life, if I'm walking in wisdom, ought to be things that are acceptable and right and honorable with God. Now, how does a man walk worthily? Well, you've got to know what God demands of our lives. You can't walk worthy of the Lord if you don't know what God requires. How do I know if I'm walking worthily if I don't know what worthy means? If I don't know what is worthy in the sight of God? I'm not talking about men. I'm talking about God, to walk worthy of the Lord, to walk in the way that the name that you wear. If you don't know what that is, then you can't walk in a worthy manner. And God expects us to walk in a worthy manner. And to do that, we have to establish priorities. Wise decision making is direct correlation to the degree which we respect, we love, and we trust God. Understanding His revealed will. The decisions you make reveal something about your love, your respect, and your trust in God. It also reveals whether you fully understand His will or whether there's some things that you have not yet grasped. Now, brethren, this has always been very evident to me. You know, you don't have to be around brethren very long, and you begin to form some conclusions. You begin to draw some conclusions by the things that you see and the decision that brethren make. And you know what? All of it reflects upon our relationship with God and how important that relationship is. Brethren, make no mistake about this. Your life is an open book. Anybody can look at it. Anybody can examine it. And God examines it every day. And every day in the decisions that we make in our life, they tell people about our relationship with God. And they express our love for God, our respect for God, and our trust in God. And if our decisions are poor, then you know what that says? I don't respect God as much as I claim to. I don't love Him as much as I claim to. And I don't trust Him as much as I claim to. And it also shows a lack of understanding of what God requires. Turn next over to Proverbs chapter 4. And you know, the Proverb writer, he talked a lot about wisdom. He knew a lot about wisdom because God gave him wisdom that no man had before him or after him. And in the Proverbs, he wrote in Proverbs 4, verse 5 and 6, he said, "Get wisdom, get understanding. Do not forget, nor turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her, and she will preserve you. Love her, and she will keep you." Now, brethren, I want you to look at these two verses. I want you to look at what it says. It says, "Get wisdom." The Proverb writer says, you need to go after wisdom. Any kind of wisdom? No, not any kind of wisdom. A special kind of wisdom. And that wisdom will give you understanding. And he says, if you get wisdom and you get understanding, don't forget about it. Don't lose sight of that. And don't turn away from the words of God. Don't turn away from that. Why? Because if you forsake her, then she will not preserve you. You know how you can preserve your life? You get wisdom and you get understanding and you don't forget them and they will preserve you. If you love them, and what he's done is he's personified wisdom. He's given it a human quality, a human emotion. If you love wisdom, it will keep you. You know, some people think what they don't know can hurt them. I got news for you. What you don't know can kill you. Wisdom is something that's important in every aspect of our life. You mothers who have young children, they didn't give you a manual, did they? When you became a mother, they didn't give you a manual when you left the hospital and said, "Now this is what your child needs, and this is what's best for you to do." Now I know all of us as mothers and fathers, we wish they would have gave us that book when we walked out of the hospital, but they didn't. But God gave you one. And it's right here. And you want to raise your child in the best way to succeed in life, in the best way to have the best kind of life on earth, to prepare them for eternal things, this is a book that you better read. This is a book that you better mold your decisions by. Because this is the best book of how to raise a child that has ever been written. There is none better. And brethren, I know from experience and from observation, I can tell you the people that were raised by the book and the people that were raised by another book. That's very easy to see in the lives that they live. And so you have to make a choice. Which kind of wisdom are you going to pursue? Are you going to pursue the wisdom of the world or are you going to pursue the wisdom of God? This proverb goes on in verse 7 and 8. It says, "Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And in all you're getting, get understanding. Exalt her. She will promote you. She will bring you honor when you embrace her." Brethren, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Everything in life revolves around knowledge. Wisdom. Think of the job that you have. Did you have to learn your job? The more you learn about the job, how much better do you do your job? The more you know about what you do, the better you do it. The more efficiently you do it, and the better way that you conduct yourself in that occupation. Now, brethren, why in the world do we think that's any different than being a Christian? You've got to know what you're doing. You've got to know what's right, what's wrong, what can encourage me, what can hurt me, what can edify me, what can tear me down, what can lead me in the path of righteousness, and where can lead me in the path of destruction. You've got to know. And so you have to go after wisdom. Verse 9 and 10, continue. She will place on your head the ornament of grace. A crown of glory she will deliver to you. Hear, my son, and receive my saying, and the years of your life will be many. Brethren, many times people live short lives because they don't make very good decisions in their life. Because they do things that end up hurting them. They do things that end up short-circuiting in their life. Why? Because they don't make good decisions. Proverbs 4, verse 11 and 13, I have taught you in the ways of wisdom. I have led you in the right path. When you walk, your steps will not be hindered. And when you run, you will not stumble. Take firm hold of instruction. Do not let go. Keep her, for she is your life. Brethren, let me ask you something. You think God's ever going to give you a bump steer? Is God ever going to tell you to do something or go in a way or to take a path that's not going to be in your best interest to do that? You can't even fathom that, can you? You can't even imagine that in your mind, that God would ever tell you to do a certain thing that would not be the best thing for you in your life to do. Let me give you a simple illustration. Love your enemy. But why should I do that? They don't like me. They don't do good to me. You know what? God says love them. God says love them because that way they can't hurt you. And Romans chapter 12 says, when you overcome them with good, and that's how you combat evil, you heap coals of fire on their head. And brethren, it works. It works if you put it to practice. If you love your enemies, you'll drive them nuts. You're not supposed to love them. You're supposed to try to get even with them. You're supposed to try to do what doing to them and what they're trying to do to you. No. You're to love them. You're to pray for them. You're to thank God that they give you this test. Now, brethren, is that easy? No. But you know what? It works if you put it into use. Try it and see. That's not, did God give you bad advice there? No, He didn't give you bad advice. When He says, when the Bible says that the rod of correction will drive foolishness out of a child, now I know the world doesn't believe it, but I'm telling you it works because God said it works. He's not talking about abuse. He's not talking about abusing a child. He's talking about discipline. He's talking about discipline with love. And He says it will drive foolishness out of a child. And brethren, it worked in my life. My dad drove a lot of foolishness out of me. And I'll tell you, I didn't like it when he was doing it either. But I needed it. Now, I'll admit that now. I wouldn't admit it then. But I'll admit it now. You see, that's God's wisdom. And you know the world doesn't agree with God's wisdom. All right? Let's try it the world's way. Is it working? How much lack of respect and authority do you see in our society? Oh, time out. Oh, I wish my dad would have followed that. You need a timeout? No, you don't need timeout. You need to know. You know what I learned in my life? When my dad set rules, I understood that I had two choices. I could obey the rules, or I could suffer the consequences. And you know, I was hard-headed. I thought I'd get around that. I could figure a way around this. But you know what? You know what I learned at a very young age? Before my father asked me a question, he already knew the answer. He always did. I said, how did he do that? How did he know before I told him or when I didn't tell him? He found out, I said, how did he do that? I thought, man, my dad, how does he do that? You know what? I know now. When I became a parent and my children tried that, I said, hey, I remember that. That's what I did. I know where they're going with that. And you know what? I turned out all right. My dad was a disciplinarian. But you know what? You know where my dad got his instruction to guide us? Is through that book. And that's how he raised us. And he raised 4 sons. We all work. We all love God. We all love our families. And none of us were abused. God's ways work. And you know what? I learned at a very young age that church is the most important thing. I played baseball. I loved it. I was in the Little League. I was a second baseman. My brother was a first baseman. I don't know how many games we had to leave. We had to call time in the 4th inning because we had to leave the field because it was Bible study. People laughed us to scorn. And we were kids. We were embarrassed. Dad, God understands it's just a game. It's one time. No, Keith. Brian, you're going to go to services. You don't understand now, but you will later. Today, I'm 57 years old. And whenever the doors of the church building are open to meet with the saints, whether it's Wednesday night, Sunday morning, gospel meeting, when those doors are open, I'm going to be here. You know why? Not because I'm a preacher. Because it was instilled in me a long, long time ago that God's work comes before anything else. And you know what? Your children, when you try to teach them that lesson, they are not going to understand it. But if you don't teach that lesson now, you will pay for it later. Wait and don't learn this lesson the hard way. If it wasn't important as they were growing up, it's not going to be important when they grow up. You need to instill in them, oh yes, they're going to be taken out of some things. They're not going to be able to do some things. And their friends aren't going to like it and they're not going to understand it. And yes, it's going to make them feel uncomfortable. But brethren, there are bigger things at stake than playing a ball game. If I became a ball player, and rake down the kind of money that they're making today, and I had no relationship with God, that was a poor choice. That was a poor choice. And so we have to determine that we're going to make better choices. But the path of the just is like shining sun that shines even brighter and brighter into the perfect day. The way of the wicked is darkness. They do not know what makes them stumble. They're going in the wrong direction. They don't even know they're going in the wrong direction. They don't even know what's right. They don't know what's wrong. And so they just go with the flow. Brethren, how many millions of people do we know in society? They don't know where they're going. They don't know where they're headed. They don't know whether it's right, wrong, or indifferent. They're just going where everybody else goes. No, brethren, you got to make a decision. I'll tell you a decision you got to make is where you commit sin. You got to determine whether or not you're going to say no to sin. Adam and Eve, they didn't do a very good job. God said, you can eat of every tree in the garden. There's every tree out there. Take it. It's for your benefit. But there's one tree that's out there in the midst of the garden. Don't bother that tree. Leave it alone. Don't touch it. Don't eat of it. Because the day that you eat of it, there's going to be dire consequences. What did they do? Well, they got curious. They got curious like men do. You know, that tree looks pretty good. And the serpent said it will make us like God. And it looks good to eat. It looks better than the other trees. So what harm is there? Let's take a bite. They did. They paid for it. And we're paying for it. Bad decision. Bad decision. Death passed to all men. Romans 5 verse 12. We're not going to live on the earth forever. Despite what the premillennial person thinks, we're not going to live on the earth forever or for 1,000 years. We're going to die physically because that's one of the consequences that came because of the sin in the Garden of Eden. Not Adam's sin, death, physical death. Because what was the other tree there that God said they could partake of that he didn't forbid them? The tree of life. They could have partook of it until they took of the tree that God said not to partake of. And then they were not allowed anymore to go to the tree of life. You see, they made a bad decision. Cain and Abel. Abel made the right decision. Cain made the wrong decision. God said to offer him a sacrifice. They offered, both of them offered the best that they had. I don't doubt that Cain offered the best produce and probably had the greatest crop and gave God the very best. But that's not what God asked for. He asked for a blood sacrifice. Hebrews 11 and verse 4, Abel offered by faith. Cain offered by what he wanted to do. He made a bad choice. And then when he was caught in doing wrong, do you remember in Genesis 4? When he got angry, then God said, Cain, why are you angry? If you do well, will it not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin lies at the door. You see, he made a bad choice. And that bad choice not only caused God to not accept the sacrifice, it led him to murder his own brother. He made a bad choice. Joseph. Joseph's in a faraway country. He's alone. He's been separated from his family. He's been treated unjustly. He's been treated terribly. And he's given this great position of authority in Potiphar's house. And his wife looks on him as a good-looking young man and tries to seduce him. And one day he's in the house all by himself. Nobody's around. The husband's gone. Servants are gone. Who's going to know? Who's going to know? Why not just give in? But you remember what he said? How could I do this great sin against God or against your husband who put me in this position? And even when she tried to force the issue, he ran. He made a good choice. Oh, he suffered for his choice. He spent 2 years in prison, but in the end, it turned out pretty good for Joseph, didn't it? Why? Because he did the right thing. He did the right thing. You see, it's a choice whether or not you commit sin. Moses. Sin is avoidable. You remember we talked about this a few weeks ago. Sin is avoidable. You don't have to yield. You don't have to yield to the temptation. Moses. Moses had put up with God's people for 40 years. He is up to here. And they wanted water again. They start griping because they don't have water. And so he goes to God, and God says, you go over to the waters of Meribah, and you speak to the rock, and it'll put out water. And Moses is angry. He's frustrated. Who among us here can't understand Moses' frustration? I'd have said, send him back to Egypt. Don't come down here. Get rid of him. But you know what he did? He was angry. He was frustrated, and he hit the rock. And then he said, much we fetch you water rebels out of this rock. You remember what God did because of that? That was a bad decision Moses made. And he paid for it because he didn't get to go into the promised land. You say, wait a minute. Look at all the good that man did. He made a mistake. He made a bad decision. And brother, you want to know what? One bad decision can destroy your whole life. You don't believe it? We have plenty of examples in our own society. Oh, that drink won't hurt me. Till you drink too much and you get behind the wheel of a car and wrap it around a tree and kill yourself at 15, 16, 17, 18 years old. Oh, you only did it once. That's all it takes, brethren, is once. A bad decision can wreck your life. David. He's a great man. He's a man after God's own heart. But you know what? David made some poor decisions, didn't he? He was out there in the evening walking on the roof of his house. There's nothing wrong with that. Except his men were in the battle and he should have been out there with them in the field, but instead he's at home. And then he sees this woman bathing across the way, and what he should have did is turn around and walk back in his house, but he didn't do that. He kept watching. And you know what it did? It caused lust to be generating in his heart. And then he went out and found out that she was another man's wife. He should have ended it right there, but he didn't do that. He sent for her, and then when he sent for her, he committed adultery with her. And then after he committed adultery with her, she was with child, and then he tried to cover it up. You know what David's example is? It's the progression of sin. When you sin, instead of admitting it and correcting it, and you keep trying to hide it, it's going to get bigger and bigger and bigger until it catches you. And that's what happened to David. He numbered the children of Israel. He told Joab, you go down and number all the children of Israel. I want to see how many there are. And Joab says, David, don't do that. God's not going to be pleased. Just trust God. Don't do that. David didn't listen. He numbered them, and because he numbered them, 70,000 of them died in a plague. He made the decision. You see, you got to make a decision. Jesus was tempted. He didn't yield. He could have missed the cross. He could have got, Satan said, I'll give you the kingdom of the world right now. If you'll just bow down and serve me, you won't have to endure the cross. Wouldn't it have been easier to just do that? But he didn't do that. You see, he made a decision. Get behind me, saying, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. You know, there are some important decisions that we make. Role models. Who's going to be your role model? An actor, a musician, an athlete, an author, a teacher? I hope not. My friends? Evil companions corrupt good morals. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 10 through 19, and continuing in verse 13, chapter 13, verse 20, warns us the danger of enticing friends. Proverbs 14:26 does the same. And also, do not follow a multitude to do evil. Brethren, money ain't everything. Power isn't everything. Having things isn't everything. But how many get dazzled by all that stuff? How many get lost in the amassment of the wealth of our society, trying to find the pot of gold? Trying to find the rainbow, the end of the rainbow. Trying to think that happiness is found in things, in money, in wealth, in power. And what do they find out? They find out disaster. Why? Because they didn't listen to God. God says a man's life does not consist of the abundance of the things that he possesses. Did God know what he was talking about? In Luke chapter 12, verse 15? Yes. You see, a companion of fools will be destroyed. A person that lets good, a companion of evil people will cause evil results. Who you marry, it is of utmost importance. You know, many, many of a son and daughter who were raised to love God, who were raised to put God first, who were taught the truth, who were taught the basic. All that work has been undone by choosing an ungodly mate. I've seen it with my eyes. It's not a sin. It's not a sin. But it is a risk. It is a very grave risk. And you need to understand that. That's an important decision. Who you marry, that's the second most important decision that you make in your life. The only one that's greater than that is whether or not to become a child of God. That is the greatest decision that you need to make. And what about Jesus? What are you going to do with Jesus? Imitate me, follow me as I follow Christ. Matthew 16:24, Jesus says, take up your cross and follow me. Jesus said, if a man gain the whole world and lose his soul, what has it profited him? You see, we must choose. We got to choose whether or not we're going to have a relationship with God. And we have to choose the kind of person that we will marry. And young people, you have to, where to go to school? Do I go to a school that's known for godless teachers? Do I go to a school that would offer encouragement while others offer more temptation? You got to make a decision. You know, you say, well, you can't get away from it. Yes, that's true. But you could go to places where it's lessened. Do we think about that? Do we ever consider that? I try to tell, you know when I tell young people about going to college? Make sure there's a good church where you're going to school at. Make sure there is a godly church and godly saints in the place that you want to go to school. You can get your education, but don't sacrifice it for your spiritual life. That's a bad decision. That's a bad decision. What about where you live and work? Spiritual support. Hours between getting to services, travel, the people, stability, the money. And you know what? I have one more thing in this. I thought after I put this lesson together, where we go on vacation. I'm not going somewhere on vacation where there's not God's saints. I'm not going to do it. Why? Because it's a poor example. Can you take a vacation from God? You know what? You just do a little homework. It's not wrong to take a vacation, but can you take a vacation from God? No. You look for a place. You talk to the people who had just come back. They found a place to worship. You got to do some investigating. Why? Because you need to never short-circuit your spiritual life. You know, I didn't take cruises for years. People tried to get me to take cruises for years, and I never would go. Because there was nowhere to worship God. But I found a way around it. I take 30 or 40 people with me who are Christians. And we arrange to have a place where we can have services. And we have our services, and many people who are on the ship attend those services. And we have them Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. And you know what? I had a great time. I love it. No phones. They can't get a hold of me. It's wonderful. I never know how well it was to get away from a cell phone. You know, but brethren, you make determinations about who you are. You are a child of God. You have to make decisions that demonstrate your relationship with God. Does it take more effort? Yes. Can it be a little inconvenient? Yes. But isn't it worth it? You see, making wise decisions brings true joy, happiness, and peace in this life and eternal life. Extends to everyday decision making, understanding biblical principles, and choosing to follow God instead of anything else. You see, that's the growth is understanding the Bible principle. Understand the Bible principles and let those Bible principles guide the decisions that you make. Let those be the standard of what you determine to do. And that will keep you to walk every day worthy of the Lord. And the result of that is that you'll gain eternal life. But you know what? You've got to make an initial choice. How long, the simple ones, will you love simplicity? For scorners delight in their scorning and fools hate knowledge. Turn at my rebuke. Surely I will pour out my spirit on you. I will make known to you my words. How long will we love simplicity? In 1 Proverbs 1, 24 and 25, because I have called and you refused, I have stretched out my hand and no one regarded, because you have disdained all of my counsel. Do we disdain God's counsel? Brethren, when you go against His word, you are disdaining His counsel. And I guarantee you that will end in disaster. When you disdain God's counsel, whatever counsel you take in its place is going to lead you to destruction. I will also laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your terror comes. When your terror comes like a storm and your destruction comes like a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come upon you. God says, I warned you. I told you not to do that. I told you that was a bad decision. I told you there was danger down that path. I said, don't take it. And you didn't listen. And here's what God's going to do. Then they will call on me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but they shall not find me. Because they hated knowledge and did not choose. Now, brethren, you let the end of this verse burn in your memory. When you hate the knowledge of God and you do not choose the fear of the Lord, There is going to be a consequence for that. There is disaster that's in the wake if you disdain the counsel of God. They would have none of my counsel and despise my every rebuke. Therefore they shall eat the fruit of their own way and be filled to the full with their own fancies. God says you wanted it, you're going to get it. You know, that's the thing about making decisions. When you make the decision and you reap the consequences, don't blame God. Don't blame your family. Don't blame society. When you make a bad decision and it goes wrong and it causes haywire and it causes anguish in your life, don't blame God. You made that decision, not God. And you have to, you know the old saying? You made your bed, got to lie in it. Sometimes the bed's pretty uncomfortable that we make. For turning away of the simple will slay them. Complacency of fool will destroy them. But whoever listens to me will dwell safely and will be secure and without fear evil. You know what God's saying? God's saying that if you choose my way and you stay in my path, that's where real security is at. That's where real peace is at. That's where real wisdom is at. And that's where you don't have to worry about what will happen. You know what? When I'm walking down the straight and narrow path, I don't worry about where it leads. I know where that leads. No matter what happens on that path, I know where the end of that path leads. It leads to eternal life. Now, brethren, we need to understand something. Don't delay in making wise decisions. Remember Joshua was dying, and he's going the way of the world. And he's leaving Israel after they've received the promised land. Now they got their home. God's made them a free nation. He's gave them a home. He's gave them their inheritance. And now he says, you're on your own. And he says, choose you this day whom you will serve. Whether the gods are on the other side of the river or the God that gave you this land and blessed you in this way. He said, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And you know what, brethren? Every day you've got to make this decision. Who are you going to serve? Are you going to serve God or are you going to serve yourself? We must make decisions. We have all made bad decisions. Some decision will follow us throughout the remainder of time on earth. You know, you can make a bad decision and you can repent of it and you can get forgiven of it, but you may follow the consequences for the end of your days on this earth. Let me give you an illustration. There was a young man in Ohio when I labored for many years, who was addicted to the bottle. And I worked, and I worked, and I worked, and I worked to try to get him off the bottle. His sister, who was a member of the congregation there, worked and worked and worked. Got him on a liver transplant list. All he had to do is put the bottle down for 6 months, and he'd have got a new liver. No. All he had to do is quit drinking. No. All he had to do is trust God. No. Then one day, he went to the Cleveland Clinic, and he sat in a desk across from a doctor, and here's what he heard. Ron, you go home, and you get your house in order. You have cirrhosis of the liver, and you will be dead within the next 60 days. There's not another thing that can be done for you. You know what I remember about that? I remember the following Sunday. I'd preach a lesson much like this. Stand up here up front. And here comes Ron down the aisle. Yellow. Yellow because his liver had stopped working. And I saw that man, 44 years old, stand before a congregation on that Sunday, and I'll never forget. And he looked out at the audience and he said, don't any of you feel sorry for me. You look at me and you take a good look at me. Because here's what stubbornness and rebellion and stupidity will do for you. I did this to myself. I had many people who tried to help me, trying to encourage me, and I was too stubborn, and I wouldn't listen. And what I want you to do for me is I want you to pray earnestly that God will forgive me and that He will comfort my family who I'm about to leave behind. You know what? For the last 9 weeks of his life, he never touched a drop. You know the tragedy that is? He could have did it 2 years before and he'd still be among us. Oh, you can get forgiven. But in 60 days, I preached his funeral. Oh yes, God forgave him. And I believe that he did exactly what God told him to do and he was sincere of the heart. God forgave him. And he could have saved, and he saved his soul. But brethren, God couldn't stop the damage that had already been done. And brethren, you remember that. You can get forgiven of any bad decision you make. But you make a real bad decision, it can have physical consequences that you can never get over. And I'll give you one more example before we bring this lesson to a close. You get an ungodly marriage. Oh, you can get forgiven for making a bad decision. But what you have to do to get out of it, that isn't so easy. That isn't so easy to do. But to do it to be forgiven, you must. But brethren, you made a decision to get into it. And if you want to get out of it, you got to make that decision too. But you know what would have been easier? Make the right decision the first time. And then you don't have to live with having to make the tougher decision. And so in closing today, this morning, and we'll finish this lesson tonight talking about what this chart means. Decisions determine one's destiny. What you do on this earth determines whether you're going to heaven or whether you're going to hell. Every decision you make places you down one road or the next. And what you have to ask yourself, what about eternity? Have you obeyed the gospel? If you're here and you're not a child of God, you're going down the wrong road. You're going down a road that has a dead end. You're going down a road that leads to eternal destruction. It's not because God doesn't love you. It's not because God doesn't care. It's not because that you can't be saved. It's because of the decision that you make to remain outside. Now, brother or friend, and if you're in that condition, I don't care what the reason is. It matters little to me. What matters to me is it worth you being lost forever? Think about that. Whatever it is that's hindering you to obey the gospel, is it worth you spending all eternity separated from God? What could be that important? What could be so important and so difficult to walk away with from that would be worth you losing your soul forever? If there's a thing out there, I don't know what it is. And you know what? That's your decision. Now, do you think I could come down and drag you down here? I don't think I could, but even if I could, what would that do? I can't force you to do it. And friend, if you're here, I don't want you to do it for your spouse. I don't want you to do it for your family. I don't want you to do it because to make somebody else happy. I don't want you to ever obey the gospel until you realize that you need to. That you're separated from God, that you're lost in sin, and that you need to ask and seek the blood of Christ. Because that's the only thing that will take. That's the only thing that will stay. Is if you are convicted that without Christ you're lost. And I'm telling you with all the love in my heart, if you don't have a relationship with Christ, you're in danger. That's all I'm telling you. And that's all I can tell you. But you can remedy that today. Obey the gospel. Hear the gospel. Believe it. Repent of your sin. Confess his name before this good audience. submit to the water grave of baptism, to enter the body of Christ, to have your sins washed away, to become a child of God, to be in the household of God, to be a child of God, that you might address Him as your Father. But you know what? Many of you have already done that. You're already in the family of God. And here's the question for you. Are you being faithful? Are you making good decisions? Are you walking worthy of the Lord and the things that you wear? Are you making the decisions that demonstrate to others and to the Lord that you seek Him first and everything else second? Now, brethren, there's two people that know the answer to that. One is you, and the other is the one that will judge you in the last day. And it matters not what I think, and it doesn't matter what anybody in this church thinks. Well, it does matter what God thinks. And if you're not making the right decisions in your life, why not change that today? Why not determine to go in a different direction? Come home. We'll pray with you and for you that God will. Brethren, decision making, it has eternal consequences. Make the right decision this morning as together we stand and we sing.